As many of you know, this is kind of a special Sunday for us. We have Jason White and his lovely wife, Melody, with us. Did I say Jason? Oh, I'll do that many, 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 many more times. I'm happy I can remember Melody. Because I have called you Melanie once, but it was to my wife. We are interviewing. Justin is the possibility of becoming our next pastor. We have spent an absolutely wonderful weekend in fellowship thus far. It has really been a joy to have them visiting with us, traveling with us, letting them explore New Mexico, telling them all the good things here and leaving out anything that may not be. Now, he comes to us as he is an interim pastor now at Bear Wallow Bible Church. I tried to find it on a map, but and we did find it. He has a Master's of Divinity out of the Virginia Beach Theological Seminary. He has a Bachelor of Arts, and I'm going in reverse order here, in Bible and Theological General Education. His wife has Bible training with an associate's degree. Justin has served as a radiological technologist. That's the guy that takes the pictures of your insides for many, many years. He was an officer in the United States Air Force. I will get to know him better before I start making a whole lot of jokes about the Air Force. And he currently works for the state of Virginia. He has been a lay reader. He has taught Bible study classes at several different places. And we are really looking forward to hearing the word from you this morning, Justin.
Good morning. First thing I have to say is thank you. Every communication that Melly and I have had with Charity Baptist Church has been a sweet time. So the professionalism of your leaders is coupled with their graciousness, and we have felt that thoroughly every interaction that we've had. And then on top of that, you should be thankful for Albuquerque. We've seen many smiles since we've been here. So your city is grand, Rio Rancho as well. And but more than anything is every personal interaction that we've had with every person from this church has just been a blessing to us. We've had an extended weekend, Friday and then yesterday and then today. And it's been so good and so sweet. So the first thing I want to say is thank you for taking care of us so well, people that you hardly know. Now, let us begin the sermon. If you would want to open up your Bibles to the book of John, it's going to be John chapter 10. And the name of the sermon is Behold Your Shepherd King. And so as you're turning there, I'm going to read the first three verses of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'm going to stop and pause and have just a quick word of prayer so that God just overshadows this time that we have in his word. Oh, Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the time that you give us together to worship, and that's worshiping through singing and worshiping through prayer. And now I pray that you would bless this time of worshiping through your word. I pray that your son would be magnified, that you would put him forward as the sweet shepherd king that he is, that your word would be seen through me, and that I would just be fade into the background and let your Holy Spirit come forth and open up our hearts and eyes to see you for who you are. It's in your precious name I pray these things, Lord. Amen. Before we begin a close examination of these verses in John chapter 10, it will serve us well to take a step back and take a look at what is going on in the structure and in the flow of the book of John. So I want us to see what's happening in the story of the Gospel of John before we actually get into John chapter 10. Why do you say that? Because when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I want us to fully understand what that means within the context. It's sort of like a paratrooper when he's falling out of the sky and he's looking. And as he's falling, he's looking and he sees a mountain here and a mountain there and a river there. And what he's doing, he's orienting himself so that he will be able to see where he is when he lands and where he will go after that. He has a mission to accomplish. So before we parachute down into John chapter 10 in the middle of the gospel, let us look around and see what the gospel of John is telling us so that when we land in John chapter 10, we'll know where we're at and we'll know where we need to go. So John chapter 10 is where we're going to focus at, but let me start by explaining the context. And I have two questions to help us understand the context of the gospel of John. The first one is, what should we be thinking as we read this book? So that's the first question I want to answer. And the second question is, what details should we notice, especially in John chapter 9, to help us understand John chapter 10? So as we're reading the whole book of John, what is it that John the apostle wants us to know while we read? And then we'll briefly look at the details of John chapter 9 so that when we hit John chapter 10, we will know what Jesus is saying. So big picture, big purpose of the book of John, think of bookends. A bookend sits on the shelf, and it's on one end and it's on the other. And John the Apostle has put bookends in the Gospel of John. The Creator of the universe came into His creation, bringing life and light to humanity. That's the first bookend. Let me read for you John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life and light, and He was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's bookend number one. John's telling us that the Creator of the universe has come into His creation to bring life and light. Then He has a name. You see, how does the Creator accomplish this task of coming into the universe? He puts on flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Creator of the universe has come into His creation to bring life and light. And He did that by putting on flesh. And He has a name. And it's Jesus. That's the first bookend. And now what we want to do is go to the second bookend, the end of the book. The Creator of the universe took on flesh, came into the world so that you might have life. John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. That's the second bookend. So when we read through the Gospel of John, we must keep these two things in mind. If we don't, we miss the message. He is the Creator of the universe who has come into the world to give life and light. And He has done this so that when we believe in His name, we might have life. That is what we must keep in mind as we go. Now, you may be asking yourself, that makes sense. But what does that have to do with John chapter 10? I'm glad you asked that question. You see, as we read John chapter 10, we will see, on the one hand, thieves and robbers who steal and kill and bring destruction. And on the other hand, we will see a good shepherd who leads the sheep into pasture. But Jesus is not teaching us about how to shepherd sheep in first century Judaism in Jerusalem. He's teaching us about God. So that when we read the good shepherd and the sheep, we read God and people. See, the big context lets us do that legitimately. God is teaching us about Himself so that when I think about God, it is legitimate for me to think that He is a good shepherd. That's what keeping the big context in mind allows us to do legitimately. So, with that said, that brings us out of the big picture, and now let us funnel down to the immediate context of John chapter 9, the details. So I want to run quickly through the details of John chapter 9 so that we can take this John chapter 10 properly. First, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. John chapter 9, man born blind. Jesus heals a man that was born blind. Second, the blind man is healed, but some doubt that it's real. And especially doubt how it happened. Enter Jewish leaderships, the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees question this formerly blind man who now can see and say, what happened? And he tells them, a man, Jesus, heals me. And they don't believe him. So what do? They go get his parents and say, is this your son? And they say, yes. And they say, was he born blind? And they say, yes. And they say, can he see now? And they say, yes. How? And they won't say. Because they're scared of the Jewish leadership at the time. Not satisfied with the testimony of the parents, they call again the man born blind before them. But he can see now. And although they could not deny the miracle that took place, they denied the source of the miracle. Read with me John chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. So for the second time, they called the man, the Pharisees, who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. They saw the man standing before him. They knew that he was healed. And they told the blind man, you give glory to God because we know he's a sinner. How does the blind man respond? Verses 32 through 33, let's read those. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this were not from God, he could do nothing. How do the Pharisees answer him? You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us, and they cast him out. They do not like being taught by a man who was once blind but now can see. But the truth is, on the one hand, this story ends with a man who was blind and can see physically, and he can see spiritually. Let's read verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, they said, do you believe in the Son of Man? I want to pause this for a second. I think it's very sweet that after the Pharisees cast this man out, what does Jesus immediately do? He goes, finds him. That's our good shepherd. So they cast him out. Jesus goes to find him. And Jesus says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The man born blind now can see physically, and now he can see spiritually that Jesus is the Son of God, and he worships. You see, on the one hand, we have a man who has been born blind, and now he can see both physically and spiritually. But on the other hand, we have people who call themselves leaders, and they can't see Jesus for who he is. They are blind, but yet they're so blind that they can't even admit their blindness. And here comes our first application before we even get into the text. So as we approach the Good Shepherd this morning, let us admit that we are people who are naturally blind. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Allow this passage to show us that apart from the grace of God healing us in our hearts, we wouldn't see Jesus for who he really is. So as we step into John chapter 10, let us ask that God will open up our eyes so that we can see. That he would rid us of our pride and give us humility so that we can embrace the Good Shepherd for who he really is. So that makes our transition and makes us better prepared to know our Good Shepherd. I have three words that I want us to help move through the text of Scripture. I want you to hear, I want you to see, and I want you to know. I want you to hear and see and know Jesus, your good shepherd. You see, I've been praying for all of us that we will hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him wherever he leads. That we will see Jesus as the only true way of salvation, and that we would embrace him and the life that he freely gives, and that we would know Jesus and worship him for being the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. So let us begin with hear and follow, and let me read verses 1 through 3 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. You see, what Jesus does, first thing, is compare a robber and a thief to the proper shepherd. Now, there is a big difference between those two. And the question I have for us is, what is the purpose of a sheep pen? Safety and security. Why do you put sheep into a pen? To keep them safe, to keep them secure, whether it's from the elements and the weather, or whether it's from the dangers of a wild animal, a wolf or a coyote, or whether it's from thieves and robbers. You put them into that sheep pen to keep them safe. Now, a first century sheep pen would be about waist high, like this, probably square, sometimes roofed over with one door in the front. Only one way to get in and out. So you put the sheep in, put them all in there, and then if it was a sheep pen near the city, it would have a gate and a gatekeeper. And if it was a sheep pen out in the fields that was made there, it probably wouldn't have a gate, and we'll get to that later. So we have this gate and this gatekeeper. So why do you put sheep into a sheep pen? You keep them safe and secure. So when a thief and a robber attempts to enter into a sheep pen, they are invading a space that is supposed to be safe and secure. That's not good. That's not good at all. So the question now comes to me is this. How can a sheep discern between a good shepherd and a thief and a robber? And this text tells us the answer is, it's by the way they enter the door. Do they come in over the wall, or do they come in through the door? You know what this makes very sweet? The Christmas story. Because Jesus entered into the world according to the Scriptures, Old Testament. You know what else it makes very sweet? John the Baptist. Because he proclaimed that this one is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the legitimate shepherd. Now, let's read on a little bit. So, starting in verse 3 again, to him the gatekeeper opens, the legitimate shepherd, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I want to open up this and turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, because this helps us understand why Jesus is saying what he is saying. Now listen to me as I read Ezekiel 34 verses 1 through 6 and think about thieves and robbers and those who are supposed to be spiritual leaders. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them, so they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for wild beasts. My sheep were scattered and they wandered all over the mountains on a very high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. And then Christ comes to his people and they now have a shepherd. You see, the shepherd has a sweet, sweet relationship to the sheep. The sheep recognizes the shepherd's voice. Why, you say? Because just as opposite of those bad shepherds, Jesus feeds and waters the sheep. Jesus strengthens the weak. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus binds up the injured. Jesus brings back the strays. Jesus seeks for the lost. And he rules them with gentleness and kindness. He does not abuse them. The shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep follow. Look at verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I think that's very important for us. Sheep are not to be driven or herded. Sheep are to be led, gentle, humble. And the sheep follow the shepherd. Have an illustration for us that I got from Gary M. Burge in the NIV application commentary. During the Palestinian uprising in the late 1980s, an Israeli officer ordered the village of Bethlehem to be, all the animals in it to be rounded up and placed in a large barbed wire pen. Later in the week, the officer was approached by a woman who begged him to release her flock, arguing that since her husband was dead, the animals were her only source of income. He pointed to the pen containing hundreds of animals and humorously quipped that if it was possible, it was impossible for him to let him do that because she couldn't find them. And she asked that if she could in fact separate her own sheep, would she be willing that she could take them? And he agreed, and a soldier opened the gate, and the woman's son produced a small reed flute and played a simple tune over and over again. Soon, sheep heads began popping up across the pen. And the young boy continued to play his music and walked out, followed by his flock of 25 sheep. The sheep will hear the shepherd's voice and they will follow. Why? Because we know that he is a good shepherd. Where are you today, I ask? What kind of sheep are you? Remember, we can't let pride blind us to our own faults. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Is your faith weak? Have you lost passion for God or energy? Or do you not know which way to turn to follow God? Or do you love the shepherd and just want more of him? I pray that you would hear the voice of the good shepherd calling you today. Verse 6 indicates that there's a transition going on here. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So the master teacher teaches again. This takes us from hear the shepherd's voice to see and receive, verses 7 through 10. So let me read. Verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Three questions I want to run through. Who, what, and why? Who is this Jesus? What has he provided, and why has he provided it? We're going to look at his ministry and his motives. First, Jesus says, I am the door. That is who he is. I am the door. The avenue, the gate, the means of getting to God is through Jesus alone. He is the door. And what does the door lead to? Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Salvation and sustenance. Through Jesus, you find God, and there you find salvation and sustenance forever. Now, also, we have a warning here. So that's who he is, that's what he provides, but Jesus has a contrast here. He says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to their voice. It's important to remember the big picture of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the creator that has come into his own world to bring life and light. And if there's any voices, whether they're from above, telling you what the good life is about, or from below, telling you what the good life and how to obtain it, or from the left, or from the right, telling you, I have a way that you can have the good life, or the life that you want, but they do not mention the name of Jesus, what does the text say? The sheep do not listen to them. Christ is the way to life alone. Thieves and robbers come to steal and kill and destroy, and Jesus comes to bring abundant life. Now we get to open up and see the heart of Jesus, the motive that brought him into the world. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Verses 9, 10, and 11 are some of the sweetest verses that you will ever read. We have a promise of salvation and sustenance, and then we have Jesus' motives put on display. You see, the motives of the thief and the robber all lead to destruction. But Jesus' heart is to come into this world so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you ever thought about that? I thought life was just life or not life. But Jesus comes that we have life abundantly. You ever ask yourself, does God really love me? Remember these words, that Jesus came into the world to bring you life and to bring it more abundantly. And you say, well, how do I know this? How do I know that this is provided for? Let us look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You see, not only does Jesus promise life and shows us that he came to bring life, but he provides for life with his own life. So I want you to know the good shepherd today. How does the good shepherd provide for the sheep? How does he provide life to humanity? The promise of Jesus to lay down his life is Jesus foreshadowing the cross. He foreshadows his death, and our promise of life is always connected with Jesus' death. I call this the great exchange. Or Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he, that's God, made him, that's Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we die in Christ, and our sin dies with him. And we live in Christ, in his resurrection, and we live in him. Those words, in Christ, are so important for our life. In Christ alone. Here it is important to step back and look at the big picture again. You see, it's a beautiful sacrifice when a good person dies for another good person. And it stretches the imagination to think that a good person might die for a not good person. But it's unfathomably beautiful when the creator of the universe puts on flesh so that he can die to rescue sinners. May we never, ever cease to be amazed at the cross of Christ. Ever. You see, he died so that we could die in him. and he lives so that we might live in him as well. Now this is contrasted to the hired hand, verses 12-13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he does not own the sheep and sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. That makes sense. The shepherd loves and owns the sheep, and he will give his life for it no matter what. The hired hand is working for money, and so when danger comes, he leaves. Illustration. Think about a house fire. A house is on fire, and the first items that will be saved. I'm going to run and save my daughter, Charlotte, my son, Jonathan, and my wife. They will be the first ones that will get out of that house, and I will give my life to make sure that they live. That's hypothetical, and I hope that never, ever happens. But our good shepherd, he has given his life so that we might live. And it's not hypothetical, it's the gospel, and it's true. So I want you to know the good shepherd, because he loves you. And you say, are you sure he loves me? Because you really don't know me. He knows you. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, I don't know you, but Jesus knows you. He knows your past and your present and your future. He knows every single thing about you. Just as the Son of God knows the Father and the Father knows the Son, Jesus knows you. All your blemishes, your scars, your open wounds, everything about you. He knows the timid ones. He knows the mean ones. He knows the selfish ones. Jesus, your shepherd king, knows you as God knows God. And he has still come that he might bring life to the sheep. God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So whenever you think that, oh, he can't love me like that, oh, yes, he can. And he has. And he will to the end. No, not only that you are known by him and you are still rescued by the blood of Christ, but know this, that Jesus knows the world and has given his life for it. There are other sheep that he is calling into the fold. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. You see, the love of the shepherd knows no ethnic, racial, national, or tribal bounds. Christ calls out into one flock those who have trusted Jesus as their shepherd. So let us live in thankfulness and spread the word concerning the gospel of this shepherd king. The shepherd is not finished calling, and we have a part to play. And lastly, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Know this, that life and death are under the authority of the good shepherd. You see, as we continue to read through the Gospel of John, we'll see this. Jesus will be betrayed and denied. Jesus will be mocked, and there will be a mock trial. And Jesus will be put to death and executed as we read this gospel. But these verses are here to testify that the death of Jesus was not an accident. It was by design. The location, the timing, the method, the duration, the termination of death and resurrection was not the result of a world going out of control. It was precisely as the Father and Son had ordained it before the foundations of the world began. Jesus holds the keys of life and death, for he has experienced life and death and resurrection, and he promises to lead his sheep through life, through death, and resurrection again. So may we lay aside the pride that blinds us to who he is, and may we hear and see and know that the life and the death and the resurrection was ordained before the foundation of the world for your salvation and for mine. And all of this is for God's glory, so that forever and ever those who are his sheep may sing and praise the goodness of his glorious grace. Forever, we will testify to his goodness of a good shepherd saving a hurt sheep. I have one last application that I would like to close with. There's only one good shepherd. Hopefully today, through the avenue of God's word, we have been in his presence. I pray that you have heard him and that you have seen his heart and that you know him for who he is and what he has accomplished on our behalf. Now, my desire for Charity Baptist Church is that you follow your shepherd king, Jesus. He is the good and perfect shepherd, and there is no one else that you should follow. The fact that this is a candidacy sermon is not lost on me, and I'm sure it's not lost on you as well. As you know, there is only one good and perfect shepherd, and I am certainly not him. But I follow him, and I love him, and I love his sheep, his people, and I desire to serve his sheep and to feed his sheep. Now, I do not know what God intends concerning my specific future and that of my family. And I do not know what God intends for Charity Baptist Church. But I know that my heart's desire is for Charity Baptist Church to be a place where Jesus is exalted and God is worshiped and glorified. Also, I know that wherever I go, and whatever I do, I want to exalt the name of Jesus and glorify God and bring people closer to him. Now, if God intends for our paths and our lives to cross and then merge, then to God be the glory. And if he intends for our paths to cross and continue on in opposite directions, then also to him be the glory. But let us never, ever quit pursuing Jesus, our shepherd king, no matter what path God has for us. To God alone be glory. Let us pray. Lord, you hold life and death and the future of all of our lives in your hands. And there is no other being in the universe that can take care of us better than you. So I pray that you would give us all wisdom as we seek you in your face. Lord, strip us of our pride. Bring about the fruit of humility in our hearts. Let us be worshipers of God, not only in word, but in deed and truth. I pray that you would take care of your sheep here in Rio Rancho, in this little church. I pray that you would feed them and bless them and shepherd them. You, the good shepherd, lead them all the way home through life and death and into life again. Lord, I praise this sincerely in the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Amen.